Our sermon today is based on the continuation of the readings from Numbers, chapter 27, verses 5 through 11. Zelophehad was son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, son of Joseph, a member of the Manassite clans. The names of his daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers and pass the inheritance of their father on to them. You shall also say to the Israelites, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall pass his inheritance on to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses." Lord, your judgments are just and right and fair. May ours ever be the same. We made it. We've made it all the way to Z in our Through the Bible A to Z sermon series. It's only taken us half a year. But isn't it kind of cool that there are 26 letters in the alphabet, exactly half of the 52 weeks that make up a year? That's a God thing. As we headed toward the end, you probably wondered, who would be the Z? The five daughters of a man named Zelophehad. To me, Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah were absolutely awesome, magnificent, noble, heartstrong, motivated, and tenacious. God had told Moses to take a census of all the people of Israel in preparation for giving them promised land in the promised land. God said the land would be apportioned for inheritance according to the number of names. And by the way, there were 601,730 Israelites counted. God said every tribe would receive its inheritance according to its enrollment. A large tribe would get a large inheritance and a small tribe would get a small inheritance. That's sensible, just, and fair. But as they stood there listening to the pronouncement, Zelophehad's daughters were indignant. Their father was dead. They had no brothers. They were apparently all unmarried. So just because they were women, they wouldn't get a portion of the land? What was up with that? Weren't they entitled to the portion that would have gone to their father Zelophehad if he had not died? Now that was a jip, that they would miss out on the goodness of the land just because of circumstances over which they had no control. I can imagine the five sisters huddling together discussing the matter. It's not fair. We should have just as much right to the land as our father would have had. We have to speak up. This took quite a bit of courage on the part of the five sisters. All the leaders of Israel were males, though they could look to Miriam, Moses' sister, as an example of womanly leadership. The culture of the day had a definite preference for sons, not daughters. The conventional thinking was, oh, girls, they'll just marry into some other tribe, so what's the use of worrying about them or giving them land and possessions they're just going to take to their husbands' families? There was also a thought that, oh, girls, they'll always have someone to take care of them, father, brothers, sons. So what's the use of worrying about them being left to their own devices? But Zelophehad's daughters were there to say that wasn't always the case. They were going to be shut out and relegated to desperate status because they didn't have some male person to take care of them. That was plain not fair. Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah wanted to change all that. Don't penalize us just because we're women. They wanted to set a new precedent and a new standard, a new way for women to be self-sufficient and included in the goodness and bounty of the new land. The sisters went to the tent of meeting, the place where the elder male leaders met with God. That was another bold step right there, daring to go to the place of solemn assembly to confront not only Moses, Eleazar, the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation, but God as well. Going to the tent of meeting demonstrated how important they thought this matter was. They brought it before the entire congregation of Israel and to Israel's one God. They were determined They were convinced they had a compelling argument for receiving a fair allotment of the land. Arms linked together, the sisters spoke up. "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah." Remember, Korah was our K. "He died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give to us a possession among our father's brothers. Let our father's name continue through us. Let us honor him in this way." Was everyone else surprised to see the five women stride forward and speak up so forcefully? Was Moses surprised? Was Eleazar surprised? Was God surprised? Maybe Moses and Eleazar and all the other people were surprised, but certainly God wasn't. God was probably just waiting for this idea to pop into someone's head so God can make a just and righteous judgment in their favor. It may seem that the women in those days were second-rate characters relegated to the background and ignored or placated with mansplaining and pats on the head. But we know that women were dynamic forces with important roles to play in God's plans for the people, were and are. We've seen countless determined women stand up over the past year. Remember all those women who prayed like a girl? Remember Bilhah and Zilpah and Rizpah, all determined to make a difference. Perhaps it surprises us to see these formidable five making a solid case for their own futures. It should not surprise us to hear God's solution. It should not surprise us that God listened to Zelophehad's daughter's request. It should not surprise us to realize God was on the girl's side. God is always on the side of the forgotten and the maligned. It should not surprise us to hear the God of righteousness and justice and balance and equality say, "Yes, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah." God knew their names. They are absolutely right. Yes, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah are absolutely entitled to the portion of the land that would have gone to their father had he not died. Yes, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah are absolutely allowed to receive this gift of land and the responsibility that comes with it. Once the Israelites went into Canaan and staked their claims, they would be expected to tend the land to make it fruitful and prosperous. It would sustain them and feed them. And with every seed planted, every tree rooted, every crop reaped, every harvest brought in, the people were to remember and rejoice in God's goodness to them. They were to bring the first fruits of all their crops to God as a thank you and a reminder that the land belonged to God and they were the stewards, the caretakers of the land in partnership with God. Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah could do that. They could plant and water and weed and harvest, and they would do so with an even deeper sense of gratitude because God had heard them and had said yes to them. They were ready to do the work. They had something to prove, that this was the right decision, that they were entirely capable of caring for the land, for undertaking this sacred duty, this sacred privilege with gratitude. They were also planting seeds for the women who would follow them into the fields in the future. God had decreed that for all time that, yes, women like Mala and Noah and Hogla and Milcah and Tirzah mattered to God. And yes, women were indeed to have a place and a purpose in God's kingdom. God was doing a new thing in a new land where all would be equal. I had a woman come and visit me this week. She was a little distressed because the pastor of the church she attends had said women shouldn't be pastors. But what is a pastor? Doesn't the word have roots in pasture and taking care of the land? God's yes to Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. I like saying their names. That designated them as pastors, growing, nurturing, seeding, weeding, caring, and sharing. And God said this was a perpetual ordinance and standard for God's people. So yes, indeed, women are called to be pastors, caretakers and caregivers, nurturers and nourishers. We are grateful for Zelophehad's daughters for coming forward and making a strong case to God and all the Israelites. They were saying, "Look at us, listen to us. Give us a place and a portion in the new land. Give us a chance to let us show what we can do. how we can grow and care and share and weed and feed just as well as anyone else. Let us minister to one another and to all God's people and serve people, serve God like this. They were speaking up for all the sisters that would follow them in their wake years and decades and centuries after them. We hear you, Mala, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah, and we are so grateful for your determination and your desire to find your very own allotment in the land of promise. And we are grateful to God for listening to you and agreeing with you and vindicating you, thus vindicating your sisters down through the ages, your sisters who fought for the right to vote and fought to be free and fought to be able to manage their own affairs and fought to be doctors and lawyers and teachers and preachers, your sisters like me. Thank you. We will ever remember your beautiful names, Mala, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. I thank you all for sticking with me A to Z. I've enjoyed seeking out obscure people and places and things in the Bible and learning more about them and sharing what I've learned with you. Should we have a pop quiz now? See how well you've been paying attention? See who remembers the most names from the series? I wouldn't do that to you. I'll just run through them all quickly for you now. Abimelech, Bezalel, Chesed, Demetrius, Elasa, Felix, Gehazi, Hushai, Ishmael and Isaac, Judith, Korah, Loami and Loruhamah, Micaiah, Naboth, Orpah, Phinehas, the Queen of Sheba, the Rechabites, Sanballat, Tithe, Urim and Thummim, the Valley of Achor, the Waters of Meribah, Xerxes, Yosherbed, and today, Zelophehad's daughters. So how about next year we see who we can find in the alphabet of the New Testament? Only this time, let's go from Z to A. Let us pray. God, thank you for journeying with us through the alphabet of your word these past few months. Thank you for all the people we've met and all the lessons we've learned. And thank you most of all that wherever we look in your word, whether it is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, there is Jesus Christ leading us, guiding us, and loving us. Amen.